Welcome back to In Focus here on News Radio KMAN, here with RCV Director Brad Schoen. Got about a little less than 7 minutes left, and we'll go and take this phone call. Go ahead, caller.
Yes, I don't think it pertains to Manhattan, but I'm just wondering if Mr. Schoen could tell us why the policemen shoot to kill instead of trying to, you know, shoot them in the leg or the foot or the arm or something.
Sure, not a problem. We get that.
I'll just hang up and listen. Thank you.
Sure. You know, it's amazing the number of non-policemen friends I have who have asked me this question over the years. And the answer goes something like this. We don't have our guns out ready to shoot somebody unless deadly force is authorized, okay? So once you understand that the framework here is such that deadly force is authorized, and typically that means that the officer is trying to prevent an individual from harming someone else or from harming the officer, if I were to draft 9 or 10 people on the street and say, okay, here's the deal. I'm going to line you up one at a time. I'm going to give you a gun, and I'm going to let you stand there and look at that guy with the gun, and he's going to be shooting at you trying to kill you, but I want you to think about only trying to shoot him in the leg. Would that seem reasonable to you? Well, probably not. Additionally, it's really hard to hit an arm or a leg or a gun. Hit rates in shootings, officer-involved shootings, are exceedingly low. I mean, I don't remember the number off the top of my head, but I'm pretty sure it's well south of 20%. So this is an exceedingly high-stress scenario when it happens. It happens rapidly. Officers have to react on short notice. And so if you're going to be authorized to use force, what you do is you shoot until the threat stops. Because what we're really talking about here is not a scenario where we're just trying to wing him to keep him from being unruly. We're talking about someone against whom the use of deadly force is authorized, presuming that, you know, the officer is doing it correctly or doing it in the right circumstance. So if that's the case, we teach center of mass and shoot until the threat stops. Because realistically, at that point in time, and typically this is the way it works, it's either the officer or the suspect. It's nearly impossible to try to shoot a gun out of somebody's hand or to shoot them in the leg. And even if you did shoot them in the leg, for example, and they're shooting at you, that's not a debilitating injury. They can still shoot at you with an extra hole in their leg. So this is kind of how we train.
It's difficult, especially when you're in that moment, that fight or flight sort of thing takes over.
And I get the tendency. I mean, nobody wants to see someone killed, chief among them the cops, because frankly, this is one of the worst things that can happen to an officer during the course of their career. There's all sorts of internal emotions that go with that if you find yourself in that position. I mean, it's not as unfortunate for the other party, who is maybe now deceased or potentially is deceased, but it's a difficult thing to live with. You know, I mean, how do you live with yourself knowing you've done that? I mean, I can tell you that we have counseling services available for people who are stressed out when they've been in scenarios like that where they haven't had to shoot someone and the impact on the officer has been significant. Now, I don't say this in any way to dismiss or mitigate, for example, the emotions that the family of someone who is deceased by virtue of an officer-involved shooting might have. Those are equally as legitimate. I'm just saying this is a bad thing for everybody. And it's high stress, short notice, accuracy is questionable when you are under stress anyway. Sometimes you're shooting and moving, try to seek cover. And I think given that scenario or those factors, it's difficult, if not impossible, to ask an officer to aim to wound. It's unrealistic to do it because the threat can continue shooting at you if you're just shooting to wound, and that's kind of how we end up where we are.
And especially when you consider that, there's a lot of weapons out there. So,
oh sure,
it's a difficult thing.
That may or may not make a difference to some people who listen to this.
But we are
equally as concerned, and I think we were talking offline. I think we've had a number of occasions over the past several years where officers, had they elected to shoot someone here, would have been legally correct to do so, but we haven't. So it's kind of interesting, though, and we're also talking about this, that all lasts up until the point where you actually have to shoot someone. Then all that kind of goes out the window, and the microscope is on that particular incident. And we know that, and that's one of the difficulties of police work.
But thankfully, at least for RCPD, the big focus right now is just traffic enforcement.
Yep, yep, that's a good thing.
Here with RCPD Director Brad Schoen, we just got just a little under a couple minutes. It had all this stuff that on this list that we're going
to
talk about.
We didn't get to
it. Didn't get to it. I'll have to save it for next time.
Next month. Yeah, the show always
kind of takes its own flow after a while. So we'll get the phone calls.
Well, that's fine. You know, people are curious about things. That's what we're here for, is answer questions.
Like radio infrastructure was one, drone program, the budget. But we got next month.
We'll be next month. We'll still be talking about budget next month.
So I'm sure. In the month after.
Yeah. And the shooting range.
That one's in the county's hands now. In fact, we were talking about that, too. I don't know anything about that since the county has decided to withdraw from that agreement. I don't know what's up with that. I haven't been at a meeting where they discussed it. So,
To be continued,
yep. But when we do know something on the range, we'll let everybody know.
Thanks so much, RCPD Director Brad Schoen with us. Also, just again, another reminder, Drug Take Back Day is tomorrow, 10 a.m., 2 p.m. You can drop stuff off at RCPD or at the Manhattan Town Center. Thanks so much for listening. Have a good weekend, everybody.
No hotspot for the director today. Just not enough time.
Hot seat.
Yeah. That thing.
Oh, yeah. Next time.
I heard you ask those questions. I'm like, come on, dude. You're not going to ask me the hot seat question at the end?
Oh, it's coming.
The hot seat will come for you.
All right. Have a good weekend, everybody.
All right, Brady. Good job this morning. Thanks, director. Moving up on 10 a.m., Clark Howard is next, followed by The Rush Limbaugh Show, Dan Patrick. The game this afternoon from 4 to 6, we have K-State baseball for you tonight. K-State baseball also tomorrow and Sunday, and some Royals in between as well. It's 10 a.m. Have a great weekend. I'm Dave Lewis. See you Monday.
KS State Bank wants to be your bank. Find the solution you've been looking for at ksstate.bank. KS State Bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
KMAN, Manhattan.